find the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. We'll stand in just a moment. Let me just tell you this. Many of you heard the story this week, and there's all this. It's always moving. Things are always changing. I know initially with COVID-19, even though if you've read about what happened in 1918, that one of the things for mitigation, they wore masks. Many of them wore Gall's mask, and they found out later that Gall's mask wouldn't stop a virus, barely stop a bacteria, wouldn't stop a virus. And then they talked about reasons they didn't do masks now because they didn't want people buying the medical mask. Remember all of that? And then, of course, when they initiated it, they said about wearing the mask, and people were saying, well, why didn't we do it before? Why now? And is there any need to do it? I just heard a story this week that there was some folks who were hairdressers. And they took, between the two of them, they'd taken care of 140 clients. But they were doing their mitigation, they were wearing their mask, and those two stylists were diagnosed with COVID-19. They did their contact tracing, and none of the clients, 140, were not positive or didn't have the COVID, and they attributed it to the fact that they were wearing their mask and practicing those things. Now, so that's why it's important to do it. Now, of course, I'm about 15, 20 feet from most of you, and further than that than from many of you. But let me remind you wearing the mask. Of course, when you put it on like this, and you got it like this. It doesn't do any good if you put it on like this. Okay? It doesn't help if you got it like this. And it doesn't help if you've got it something like this. Now, when I went to see my mother a couple weeks ago, I took her a mask, and I chose not to go in the house for very long. It was a pretty day, and I visited with her, and I said, Mom, now I've got a mask for you, and most of you know that she has dementia. And I said, I got a mask for you, a little paper mask, and I said, with all this going on, she understands that. I said, I want you to put this on before you come in. And so I showed her, and she got it on. We went outside. I said, Mom, let's get a picture with our mask on. We'll get a picture of each other taking a selfie. I said, I'll put my mask on, you put yours on. And when I turned around and took a picture, here's how she had hers on. That's not how you have to fix that. We fixed that, but she's completely covered right in that regard. So if you wear the mask right, it will be a help in that regard. And keep in mind, the story that I just told, it wasn't about the two that were doing the hair. They got the COVID somewhere else. But it was about the people that they were working on. It helped protect them. So as believers, if that is at least in part true, if I can protect you, I ought to want to do that. Amen? I ought to want to do that. I believe that's our hearts this morning. Stand if you would, as I read in the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 15. Standing, please. Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. And I'm going to reread these verses that I started in last week. I read verses 1 through 15. But this morning I'm going to begin in verse number 6. I have a purpose for this. Last week I introduced this by calling it the just for the unjust. But I want to begin in verse number 6 as we pick it up in the narrative here, the Gospel of Mark, writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Now, feast, he released unto them one prisoner. This is referring to Pilate, as you remember, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them and had made insurrection with him. So understand that as we read this, Barabbas and his cohorts were incarcerated because of their insurrection. And notice it says, who had committed murder in the insurrection. Now, we might say, were not exactly your upstanding citizens. Although they may have felt well justified in what they did because of trying to overthrow the Roman government. We'll in that in a moment. And the Bible says here, and the multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. In other words, every time of the feast, every year, This was a common practice to kind of like throw the dog a bone or to give him a little treat. All right, I'm going to release a prisoner. And they said, well, you've always done it. Sure, release a prisoner for us. The Bible says in verse number 9, but Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. I talked about that last week. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Notice the influence that the chief priest had upon the crowd. And Pilate answered and said unto them, what will ye then that I should do unto whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. Can you imagine the venom of that crowd that day? And so Pilate, willing to content the people, we talked about Pilate pleasing the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. There's a lot in this text. This morning, my focus is upon this man Barabbas. The title of the message is, His Cross Was Mine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the privilege of being in your house, the privilege to preach your word. Lord, I pray for these that listen this morning by way of Facebook, by way of radio, by person, that, Lord, we'd be attuned and attentive to the Word of God, that we would be yielded, Spirit of God, to what you want to say to our hearts, how you want to mold our minds, how you want to correct our attitudes, how you want to display in our hearts the light of the gospel, that it would shine and pierce through the darkness and the hardness that is so accustomed in our hearts that are desperately wicked. That, Lord, we'd go from this place having been changed, that we would go into the world and tell the good gospel of Jesus. Lord, for someone that watches by way of Facebook, that listens by way of radio, maybe it's here in service that doesn't know Christ as Savior, I pray that this would be the morning they'll come to grips with their self and their sin and the sacrifice that the Savior made and trust Him and Him alone for salvation. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I suppose had it been the 24-hour news cycle that we had, NBC and CNN and Fox News and all the rest, in this time frame in which Jesus was to go to the cross of Calvary, had there been that 24 news time cycle in this time of Christ, no doubt there would have been some, because this was a huge crowd. They were there for the Passover. There was a lot of attention that was drawn to what was going on. And so I think that some aggressive reporter may have worked through the maze of the crowd when Barabbas was released. It drew a lot of attention. Because Pilate has said, as I read in your text here this morning, Pilate said that normally I release somebody. Would you like for me to do that now? He said, do it like you always do it. Sure. And he said, would you like for me to release the Jews, the one you call the King of the Jews? And they'd already been stoked by the religious leaders, and they were already kind of hyped up, and they said, no, we want Barabbas. And if that weren't appalling enough, he said, then what am I supposed to do? What do you want me to do with the one you call the King of the Jews? And they said, crucify him. And so you go from insult to deep injury when you think that they chose who the Scripture says was a murderer. And they chose him over Jesus. So it would have been a big stir. It would have been a big cup of dust. And had it been the 24 news cycle that we have, an aggressive reporter would have went through the crowd and found Barabbas as he's trying to make his way out, wondering if this can really be true. Will they try to get me for something else? And they would have tried to interview him. And this man who was popular and anti-governmental, this man who was an anarchist at best, and maybe if they would have interviewed him and talked about his circumstance and his cause and why he was arrested and why he did what he did, and what were your thoughts when you were in the prison and you were ready to die and they came to get you out, what were you thinking? He would have maybe said, I didn't know what to think. He might have said, I thought they were going to, at first I thought, well, at least thought I would have to the Passover was complete before they would bring me out and crucify me. But it looks like, he could have said, it looks like they're going to crucify me before Passover is complete. And when they were questioning, perhaps they would say, well, when that didn't happen, were you shocked and surprised? Were you shocked and surprised when they said this one that they called Jesus, who went about doing good, incidentally, by all reports, and he did well, and he helped the sick, and he fed people, and all those things that he did, and they chose you over him? What do you have to say? I don't know what to say about that. I'm just glad I'm delivered. And maybe they'd looked over the horizon, and they would have seen those three crosses, and he would have said, the only thing I know, I'm standing here now a free man. And you see, there's three crosses over there along the horizon, and that one in the middle. And all I know right now is that I'm not there, and I'm going to go on down the road before maybe they change their mind. But I'm going to go on down the road. But that cross, that middle cross, was my cross. Had there been the 24-hour news cycle, perhaps something like that could have happened. The truth is, we don't have a lot of detail about Barabbas. We have some detail about his kind and about his type. We know that the Jews were unsettled with the occupation of their country by the Roman government. We know that Pilate himself was doing what he could to appease the Jews, especially in this time of the feast when so many were there. I told you last week that Pilate himself was concerned that he would not be reported again to Tiberius because Tiberius didn't want to hear about the problems. It's like what sometimes they'll say at work. You go in and say all the problems that you're having and you're not getting this done, can't accomplish this because, and they'll tell you sometimes, say, look, I'm not interested in the labor pains, I just want to see the baby born. And maybe Pilate was concerned that the labor pains would get down to Tiberius and he'd be in trouble again, and so he didn't want any of that, and so this was not something he was interested in. Barabbas, we don't have a lot of information, but we can sense the troubled time that they were in. Everything was boiling over. Just the lightest touch could light it like a match could kerosene or gasoline. Just a quick trigger could really cause disaster. And so Pilate stepped up and made this appeasement, and he gave the option of either Jesus, to call the King of the Jews, or Barabbas. And this is where all of a sudden Barabbas seemingly comes out of the dungeon and the dankness of his prison cell. We've never heard of him before now. And he comes out of that prison cell, and all of a sudden that entire movement and that entire environment and feeling takes a face and takes an identifying name as Barabbas. Someone said that Barabbas was drawn dramatically onto the stage of Christ's sufferings. He was made to stand up alongside of Jesus Christ. I said this, Barabbas for one pivotal moment in time and now for eternity emerges from the shadows of prison, and once was released, he went free, and then all of a sudden he goes back into his obscurity. We never heard of him before then. And now that he's released, because we didn't have a 24-hour news cycle, and now that he's released, he goes back into, we would hear about it and hear about it if they did, right? All of a sudden he goes back into the same obscurity that he came from. One commentator said he was a man guilty of murder and guilty of leading an insurrection. He was the chief prisoner at that time.
He was actually to be crucified. Now listen to this. He was actually to be crucified along with the others. And this writer said, I think the Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross intended for Barabbas. I agree with him. I think the cross that Jesus died on was the cross that was designed and intended and where Barabbas was destined to hang on. I believe that. That's why this morning I've called the message, His Cross Was Mine. And I suppose that if Barabbas was to write an article and say about the events of that day, he might conclude it by saying, the Messiah, the King of the Jews, His cross was mine, signed Barabbas. I say to you this morning that I want from this to get some truths and some lessons, I believe, are here that we can glean and apply from Barabbas that apply to every sinner who understands. When we understand, like Barabbas, that cross that Jesus died on, that middle cross, remember on either side of him were two criminals, two thieves on either side. Likely they were the cohorts of Barabbas. They were those who had been incarcerated and condemned to die on the cross, and Barabbas was intended to be in the middle of that cross. I say this morning, when we understand that, we can say with Barabbas. Because literally, to boil it down, Barabbas did not die on the cross because somebody else died on that cross. Barabbas, that cross was intended for him. That day he was supposed to die. That day he was guilty. That day he was the criminal. But the crowd said, instigated by the religious leaders, we don't want the King of the Jews, we want Barabbas. What am I going to do with this King of the Jews? Crucify him. And so Barabbas could look over the horizon and say, that middle cross is mine. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus not only is a substitute for Barabbas, but he's a substitute for every sinner, every man and every woman that was born in this Adamic race. Jesus is our substitute. And when you see that middle cross, while He owned the cross and He took the cross and He took the burden of sin and its shame, I can say this morning that literally that cross really was mine. And when I see this morning, I want us to make those applications that cross, that middle cross, is mine. Each of the four gospel writers tell us something about this man Barabbas. You don't have large commentary. It's interesting to me that among the ones that wrote the most about Barabbas is the one who didn't write the most, but at least the volume of everything else that he writes, usually he's succinct and usually he's brief in his narrative. That's Mark. And it seems to me that Mark gives us, for his style of writing and how he tries to say things quickly, gives us quite a bit of detail for his style of writing. You'll see this in a moment. I'll just make these references. Each of the gospel writers talk about it. Matthew, in verse 16 of chapter 27, said that he was a notable prisoner. Mark here tells us that he had made insurrection and he committed murder. He tells us a couple of things. Luke chapter 23 verse 19 talks about his seditions, which is about his insurrection, and his murders. The murder, that he was a murderer. And when you read the Gospel of John, verse 40 of chapter 18, the only thing John was a robber. Mark has more to say, or is at least as much as the others, to say collectively about this man Barabbas. The middle cross was intended for the leader of that insurrection, of that movement, of which the men that were flanked that middle cross were a part of. You remember, and we'll rehearse this as we get further this morning, but in messages that are to come, That crucifixion itself was an instrument of punishment for crimes committed that called for death. And it was intended to be very public. It was intended to be very brutal. It was intended to cause their life to end, not quickly, but through much suffering, displayed where everybody could see, that they would say that it would be a deterrent to crime itself because they could see, I never want to die like that. It was intended for that impact and that effect. These men that had committed these crimes against the state of Rome were going to die for their crimes, and society was going to watch them openly die. And rightfully so, legally so, Barabbas belonged on that middle cross. Now, before we get further, I want to give you what I have as an outline. First of all, I want to tell you that Barabbas was a promising deliverer. I'm going to expand on that in a moment. Barabbas was a promising deliverer. You say, I've never thought of him that way. Well, we'll talk about it. And then secondly, I want to talk about that, and you already know this one, Barabbas was a guilty prisoner. Because when we're first introduced to him, we realize that he is a prisoner and he committed his crime. He was convicted of his crimes. And you know that third thing, Barabbas was a popular figure. I think not only was it that the religious leaders stirred up the crowd, but he was already popular with the Jews for what he represented. They liked the idea of Barabbas insurrection against the Roman government. They liked that. Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons they got upset with Jesus. When Jesus fed the 5,000, the disciples must have thought themselves, what a good opportunity for us to go in with this crowd and do an insurrection and try to overthrow the government. And Jesus said, no, we're not going to go fight. I want you to float. Remember? And they went out on the ocean and they went for a float and the storm came. Barabbas was a popular figure. And then finally, Barabbas is the sinner's picture. First of all, I want us to notice this morning that Barabbas was a promising deliverer. I believe this morning that his name implies that. The natural meaning of his name, Barabbas, means the son of the father. One meaning could be, naturally, that he was the son of a rabbi. Now, if you know anything about Jewish history and what we've done even in the Gospel of Mark, you understand that of all the children, Jewish children born in this time frame, if they happen to be born to one of the religious leaders, and especially to a rabbi, they may have advantage over other kids that didn't have a rabbi for a father. If that's the case, if in fact he was the son of a rabbi, I believe and submit to you this morning that he was born with some privilege and some promise. I like what Graham Scroggie said. He said, therefore, a man of a good family, but had fallen into ways of crime and actually guilty of the crime with which the Jews had falsely accused Jesus. Remember last week the message was entitled, The Just for the Unjust. I believe this morning that not only do you have in its natural meaning, if that's the case, that he may have been the son of a rabbi, he had some advantage and he had some privilege. I want to submit to you, it doesn't matter what you have, what opportunity you have. It matters what you do with that opportunity, what you do with that privilege. It also comes down to the condition of your heart. The Bible tells us about the groups of people in the book of Proverbs and how they respond to wisdom. You remember that there is the simple. The simple doesn't know any different. They need to be taught and they're teachable. There's the foolish who takes the information and foolishly discards it. And then there's the scorner. The scorner knows the truth, understands the truth, and says, I don't care, I'm going to do what I want to do. And as the Hebrew writer says, putting their hand up to God and saying, I don't care what God thinks. I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want. That's a scorner. Now the last is the wise. The one who is wise will take the information and apply it to their life. It doesn't matter your privilege. It doesn't matter your opportunity. It matters. You see, the Bible says that the heart is desperately wicked. I believe in the problems that we have in our society today, while there is effort for social programs to try to correct it, I want to tell you the problem is still what it's always been. It's a heart problem. And somebody says, well, the gospel didn't work. It's because people didn't allow it to work. Because religion doesn't change the heart. Religion does what social programs do. It just tries to make the old man look better. I like what somebody said, that you can put a new suit on an old man, but still the old man. And what society often does is try to change the man from the outside. I want to tell you this morning, without apology, in the area of God's Word, it's not a matter of your privilege or lack of privilege. It's a matter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The problem we have in society is a heart problem. And the answer to that heart problem is still the gospel of Jesus Christ, the man who changes the heart of men. I believe that this morning. And as a preacher of the gospel, as a biblicist who believes the Word of God, as one who has experienced the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I believe this morning that what we need more than ever is the gospel preached to a world that needs it desperately. And so it's not a matter of just privilege. Because this man, Barabbas, if this is the case, he had it and he scorned it. If it has what I'm going to call a political meaning, the son of the father, some believe that Barabbas, in other words, was not his original name. It might be, as John Phillips says, it might be that he took the name for himself when he became the leader of the insurrectionist. Tradition says he was also called Jesus Barabbas. Of course, we know what Jesus means. By the way, the name Jesus was a very common name at that time. Very common. Like Jose is in Spanish. I say that, or Maria for a woman, because those are the names I come up with. If I don't remember the name, that's who they are to me. Jesus was a common name. Jesus was Savior. So essentially, Barabbas was a self-proclaimed Messiah of sorts. I take this angle of a political meaning. He was a self-proclaimed Messiah of sorts. Jesus, meaning Savior. Barabbas, the son of the Father. He would have been portraying himself as the Savior, as the son of the Father. And most Jews knew, as they looked back through the prophecies, that there was a connection about him being the son of the Father. And so if he promoted himself in that way, one prominent Hebrew scholar suggested that Barabbas was some kind of a political antichrist. Alfred Edersheim is the one. If you've ever read his stuff, usually his volumes are that tall. You could stand on it and be 9 inches tall or a foot. If that's the case, can you understand this morning that while his name may suggest that this man, Barabbas, was a promising deliverer, but also the events suggest it too, that he was a promising deliverer. Why is that? First of all, he was incarcerated for crimes. What kind of crimes? Well, we have them listed in the Gospels. One of them, he was a robber. The other is that he's a murderer. And of course, the one that stands out to Mark is that he led in an insurrection. Well, what's that? That's like going against the government to try to overthrow the government or undermine the government in some way. And perhaps even the other crimes were a result and effect of his main motive of insurrection against the government, that he in fact murdered somebody, he and his group. If he didn't do it directly, he was responsible for it. That they were guilty of stealing. We have seen in our recent history how easy it is to lose the message and go off the rails. And we've seen people murdered. And we've seen crimes committed. I'm just simply saying that that environment that we're seeing in our day is this kind of environment, that kind of stir. If in fact that Barabbas, he was incarcerated for the crimes against Rome, and secondly, he was embraced by the crowd. You know, the robbery, the murder included that insurrection, but he was embraced by the crowds of religion. One of the things that they got angry at Jesus by the religious crowd, whose authority do you think you have? He says, you don't have any authority but what God gives you. They wouldn't accept his authority or who he was. But the crowds of religious leaders, as we see here, they wanted Barabbas. They had instigated the crowd. And I don't believe it was too hard for them to stir up the crowd to say, give us Barabbas. The religious leaders selected him. When Pilate said, who would you have, King of the Jews or Barabbas? He was supported by the rebel crowd in that group today. Let me say to you this morning, Barabbas, he would have been the ideal choice of the religious leaders and the mobs. Even the early ideology of the disciples as a potential Messiah. Did you hear what I said? Do you know that Peter, James, and John, James, sons of thunder, and Peter, who loses it sometimes, cut his ear off? Remember that guy? Do you know what their idea of Messiah was when they first started walking with Jesus? The same thing that the rest of the Jewish society wanted. We want to overthrow the Roman government and have Messiah set up his kingdom here and now. And they had to learn. That's why there was a... We've seen it in Mark. Every time Jesus, beginning in Mark 8, when Jesus said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, there be crucified. And Peter didn't say, hallelujah, praise God, you're the Messiah, bringing in your... No, he said, you're not going to do that. And every time Jesus brought it up, they got off topic, they got off subject. Their minds, their agendas had been to where they were wanting a Messiah who would come up and set up the kingdom then. I think that the events surrounding Barabbas on this occasion, he was chosen by the religious leaders and the mobs wanted him. And early on, the disciples themselves may have chosen one like Barabbas because they wanted to overthrow the Roman government by force and establish the Messianic kingdom. Do you know, and I didn't go into it last week, when Pilate said, are you the King of the Jews? And he said, thou sayest. Worked into the language of that. Jesus was saying, what you're saying is true, but my kingdom is not a political kingdom of this world. And that was his message all the way through. My kingdom is not a political takeover. These folks in this crowd this day, they wanted Barabbas. I like what one said, that the religious leaders led the people to choose Barabbas was the ultimate rejection of God's Messiah, the Holy and Righteous One. When they chose Barabbas by the religious crowd of that day, they had rejected him in many ways and tried to throw him out of the temple and argued with him and tried to tie him up with theological and political questions. We've seen it in the Gospel of Mark. They did all those things to shut him down and to shut him up. But when they rejected him and chose Barabbas, as this writer said, that was the ultimate rejection of God's Messiah. Because what they say, I believe to them Barabbas was more a deliverer, promising deliverer, than what they saw in Jesus. They didn't get it. Hey, this morning Barabbas was a guilty prisoner. He was guilty. I'll do this quickly. The crimes of Barabbas and his insurrection, word, and it means to make a stand. Think about that. One of the things that the disciples, I mentioned that about when Jesus fed the 5,000. And the disciples had one thought. Let's go into Jerusalem. Let's overtake. We got all these people. You fed them. Well, you know, an army marches on its. So let's go. And he sent them to float. And he went up on the mountain. He prayed. And they learned a lesson out in there that they had to look to him and trust him, and that he was master over the ocean and over the seas and over the wind. And if he wanted to squelch the Roman Empire, he could. But the time was not now. Sometimes we think in our world, we say, why don't the Lord do this? And the time's not now. When the time comes, he shall appear. I say to you that Barabbas was guilty. And he had made his stand. He was a robber as a result. He was a murderer. Peter, in Acts chapter 3, while he's preaching, he calls Barabbas a murderer in his sermon. Do you know what Barabbas would have done? I like what John Phillips said. Barabbas would have justified his behavior. He would say that he was not a criminal, that he was a patriot, and he was a freedom fighter. Have we noticed in our politically correct society over the last 20, 30 years that you don't have, you call them freedom fighters, you don't call them criminals? Have you noticed that? As they do their state, this man, Barabbas, would have fit right in with him. He would have justified it. I want to tell you this morning that Barabbas was guilty. He's not. Barabbas had made his stand, and he failed. When Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, that cross, the cross was made for Barabbas, who had made his stand and was convicted of his crimes against the Roman state. And what a contrast we have this morning. Barabbas was guilty, and that cross was his. And the mob, because Barabbas being a promised deliverer, they did not see his guilt. They did not see it as wrong. They're only thinking about overthrowing the Roman government. And while Jesus, and they said, who would you have, Barabbas or Jesus? And they said, what would you do with Jesus? And they said, crucify him. Now what happened in that moment when he went to the cross of Calvary is that the one who knew no sin and did no sin, the guiltless, was put there for the guilty. The one who had no wrong and no sin, and who refused to make his stand in this world, because the stand that he was making that day was to submit himself as a sacrificial lamb, as a Passover, who would go to the cross of Calvary. And what was laid upon him was not his guilt and not his guilty. He took the cross of Barabbas. He took your cross, and he took my cross, and my sin and your sin was laid upon him, and the punishment that he took and the suffering that he endured was for you and for me. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Barabbas had made his stand. Oh, I'm glad for that Jesus made that day on Calvary. I'm glad that when, as we sang the song, he could have called 10,000 angels, he could have called a legion of angels. He, in the Garden of Gethsemane, could have called and said, Father, let this cup pass. And he could have said, I don't want your will, I want mine. But instead, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He took his stand, and he went to the cross, and he bore the shame, and he bore the suffering. And the reason he did it, not because he was guilty, not because he wanted to be a mere martyr, but because he took your sin and my sin, because he loved you that much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And when it says he gave his Son, understand, when Jesus went to the cross, that while the Roman soldiers nailed him there, and while the Jews insisted he go there, and while the government made story with between Barabbas and him that there. Understand this morning, according to Isaiah chapter 53, it pleased the Father to bruise him. It was in the Father's plan and the Father's will that he go to the cross. Why? Because there was a need for a sacrifice, sinless lamb. And Jesus was the only one qualified. And he was willing. As the song said, he was willing to drink the bitter cup. Although he prayed, let it passed from me. He took your place. We looked over the horizon and we saw the cross and say, yes, the three crosses on Calvary. There was one for one thief and one for the other. And at least the one thief, while they both reviled on him, finally one said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I want to remind you this morning that when you see Jesus on that cross, understand that his cross was mine. He died. He made that stand that day on Calvary. Brother Bing, he took a stand on Calvary for me, for you, that one day we may stand with him in heaven. I want to tell you this morning, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, when it comes to eternal life, you have no standing. None. You say, but I'm religious. I've been baptized. So what? So was this crowd. You couldn't get more energetic and fervently religious than this crowd. There was a man a little later whose name was Saul, went about propagating against the church. He was rebellious. He met the Lord Jesus on the... And what happened to him? Later he said, I counted all that but loss, that I may gain him. Now Jesus has made a stand for your sin. Where do you stand? You know, when you tell me I'm doing the best I can, you tell me, you say I'm standing on. When you tell me I've been baptized, you're telling me you're standing in hopes of your baptism get you through. And some of you are not even baptized right away. Been spritzed, whatever. By the way, even immersion won't count without trusting Christ as Savior. Got a lot of churches in our community, in this county and surrounding counties that are preaching. They're cloaking it. It's cloaked. They don't tell you that they believe in baptismal generation, but that's what they believe. I want to tell you, baptism has no standing. If you stand on water baptism, salvation, you'll sink just as fast if you try to stand on water physically. The only standing is in Jesus Christ. He took a stand at Calvary. He made a stand for our sin. And putting all your faith and trust in Him is the only way to heaven. If your head's bowed and your eyes closed, I'm not done. I'm just going to quit. Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him? See, I'm not talking about religion. They had plenty of that in Jesus' day too. Religion won't get you to heaven. Religion will just make you feel better on your way to hell. The only standing you have is taking where He made the stand on the cross of Calvary. His cross was mine. He paid the price. What I'm imploring you to do this morning is, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Come to my heart and save me for your sake. And He will do that. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm not talking about water baptism. I'm not talking about learning catechisms and memorizing doctrine. I'm talking about taking Jesus alone. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Come to my heart and save me. I know that you died for my sin, that God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, Lord, I'm a whosoever, and I believe, should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, that's what I want. I want to stand with you at Calvary. I want to take you and you alone as my Savior. If you've not done it, I don't care how religious you are. If you're not standing on Christ alone, plus nothing, minus nothing, just the work, the finished work of Christ, If you're not standing on Him alone, you're on sinking ground. Make your stand with Christ by taking Him as Savior. If you do that, let us know by way of Facebook Live. Put that in the note. Send a message. Go to palomarbaptist.com. Get the contact information. Let us know that you've trusted Christ. As a believer, we ought to rejoice in a Savior's love. Heavenly Father, bless now, I pray. Thank you for the power to preach the Word of God, for these that have responded. Lord, I pray your blessings in Jesus' name.